Thumbs up. I know it's a thumbs up. Hey.
Praise God.
All right. Praise you, Jesus. Yes. Praise God. There's so many things to say, but I want to welcome everyone from home right now who is watching. Hey, we're so excited that you guys tuned in. We've got a special service planned. It kind of, but not just a normal service. It's going to be super special here in a few weeks for sure. I'm pumped. I'm pumped that you guys are all out here this morning, all the volunteers. Today and next Sunday, we're going to be focusing on training and getting all of our leaders prepared for when everyone comes through. So we're just blessed you guys are here. It's offering time. So let's receive the offering, and then I'll spill out all the thoughts that's going through my head. Offering, guys, there's multiple different ways to give for you that are here today. If you want to give it by cash or check, we have offering buckets at that door and at that door over there. And don't pay attention to what Jeremy's doing right now. He's trying to tune in my microphone. So don't worry. He's going to get it all good here in just a second. But for you that are here, also for you that are home, electronically, it's safe, secure. You can go to trailhead.church, select the giving tab, or you can download the Trailhead app. And through that portal, there's a giving tab as well. And then you can text to give so that you guys that are home, you guys can check out below the number to text. All of that good stuff. I'm sure there's a screen behind me for you guys that are here. There's a screen behind me. That's fantastic. For some of you that have no idea the difficulty to put that screen up, thank you for all you men that came together a few weeks ago and put it up. But man, praise you, Jesus. This is so awesome. All right, I'm going to pray, receive the offering, and then I'm going to go into my whole spiel. So let's do it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning, for this ability to give in your house. Lord, I pray this is a good offering. Lord, that is a sweet aroma to you today. Lord, the first offering to be received in this house. God, I pray that it is good. Lord, I pray that you are blessed by it. Lord, that you are able to multiply it like never before. God, that this place, this community of ours, Lord, this county, this state, Lord, is our mission is to reach people from the mountains to the sea for Jesus Christ, God, that we do it effectively. So, Lord, I thank you today. Lord, as we receive this offering, Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right. Now, how cool is this? Today, this is no longer the warehouse, it's a church. So, yeah. So when I tell my wife tomorrow where I'm going, I'm not going to the warehouse, I'm going to the church. So it's no longer a warehouse, it's a church. A few guys showed up here this morning to pray at 5:30. So that definitely, that christened it as the church. So we prayed in here early this morning, and then now we're having church. It's hard, I can't look at any of your faces, I just keep looking at the building. I'm just so thrilled that we finally got all the details. There's more details to go, but we've got some of the details up, but it's pretty cool. For you guys that are home, when you come, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be in place. We still have a few more details to go, little nooks and crannies. We got to finish the drum stage. We got to frame out the projector screen. We got to do all sorts of little things, lights. We still have lights that are coming in this week that I believe, so I'm thrilled about that. We're still tweaking out the sound, trying to get it exactly how it should be and all that good stuff. We have a professional coming this week to help us out with those details, so we're really thrilled. Just to see two camera guys on the camera stands, it's pretty thrilling to see all of this take place. All the guys up in the booth, James and Tim, I know that they are thrilled to have a booth and not a theater or something. Whatever that was that they had. But praise you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for you guys as volunteers. I think everyone's just anticipating me to bawl my eyes out right now, but I'm not. I'm not going to cry. Today's not my day. But it will come. Those days will come for sure. I'm just thrilled I have a stage. I would probably take off running right now if the cameramen weren't practicing today. But to know that I can go over here and not fall off, oh my gosh, this is great. Like, I've got room to move. This is fantastic. I'm just thrilled. Speechless. Okay, maybe I might cry. Because I'm just so thankful for you guys. I'm so thankful. For the last two and a half years, we've been building a church building. It's like Ethan and Kayla, they were here a few weeks ago, and I was just, I'm so tired of building a building, and I want to build the church, which that's us, you know, I want to build us. I can't, my wife always gets mad at me when I give you guys a lackluster, a statement of like our sermon series, they've been okay. Anna will be like, no, they've been fantastic. But they've been okay because why? Because I can't put all of my focus in on those things, but now I can. And so I'm so thankful that I no longer have to sand these floors. Praise you, Jesus. And I don't have to do dumb things anymore. It's all done. But I don't have to build the physical house. Now we can build the spiritual house. And that's what I'm most thrilled about right now for us as a church, that's what we can put our focus on. And right now, in the day that we live in, it's more needed than ever before with so much division, so much consumption of the wrong things in our lives. What a way the enemy has come in to kill, steal, and destroy, but to create a virus and then to separate the church, to be together. Man, you talk about just destruction. So much division within our nation, within our culture, our races, all of those different things. The identity crisis that's going on in our nation is uncomprehendable. I mean, it's unbelievable that we've found ourselves in this moment. And what a better place to be than at church to find out His way of doing it. There's so much moral corruption. There's moral backsliding that's been taking place. I praise God that I'm not on social media to see some of your accounts. Oh, man, that was hard. I know. But I mean, the compromise that is taking place is ungodly. And we need to get back to our focus of the things of God. And that's what I'm thrilled that we have a place to do that in, that we can call home. So, because you guys may not realize this, but in preaching, you know, I preach for 30 to 45 minutes, and that's never nearly, sometimes enough at times. God's got a message on our hearts. But what you guys don't realize is I'm looking at a clock, and I'm thinking, I got to hurry. And then on top of looking at the clock, I'm thinking, we got to tear down. Oh my gosh, we got to do all these things. And to know that we didn't have to do any of that today, we didn't have to set up anything today. I mean, knowing that I didn't have to change into a different shirt, I could wear this and not have to worry about getting something dirty or sweaty or whatever it is, man, that's Jesus. Today is not a message that I'm going to keep harping about our new home. I'm not going to do that. We will do, to give you guys kind of an update of how we're going to do some things. Obviously, January 24th is when we're going to open up these doors for everyone who can come and is able to come. When will we go to two services? I don't know. I'm unaware of that time frame. We are going to be offering Children's Church service on the 24th. We're trying to always follow the Alamance school system way of doing things. So if they feel it's comfortable, then we will. If something changes, then we won't. We're playing that card. We are not going to have a grand opening service anytime soon. So yeah, we may have a grand opening service in 6 months from now. And the reason is because we want to do it right. I want us hugging. I want brotherly kisses. I want overflowing pots of coffee and fruit punch. I want the pregnant lemonade stand back up. I want these things, you know? So some of you, if you've been going to our church for a long time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For you that are new, then just stick around. You'll be pregnant before you know it once you drink the lemonade. That's what happens here at this church. I want us to have such a good grand opening service. I want to honor those people that have dedicated so much sweat, blood, and tears to this facility. I want to honor those individuals. So we will get to that service soon. I don't know when yet, but we will. We want to do it right, okay? But today, For all of you that are in here today, for your volunteers, you know, you're meeting with your team leaders. We're learning how to do things, so ask questions. There's going to be processes that won't work. There will be processes that are amazing. So that's what we're doing right now, okay? So I'm thrilled. I don't think I want to say anything else. You know, I'll say this. One thing about the warehouse. I told my wife this. You know, Noah, there's one individual that I'm always thinking about is Noah. I met with my team, all the staff guys last Saturday in here. And when you look at characters in the Bible, people in the Bible, real men and women in the Bible, and you break down who they are, we get to see the beginning, the middle, and the end, and we can get real judgmental on some of these people in the Bible. And especially Noah, for me, I'm like, you know, he built this big ark. He got to see God shut the door. He's in a boat full of animals. That's unbelievable. And then when he gets off the boat and he's on a dry land mountain thing, all of a sudden he falls into sin and he gets naked and he gets drunk and he's in sin. And he did that for 100. He built that ark for 120 years. We built this place for 2.5 years. And I'm not going to get drunk and naked. In faith, are we going to fall into fear and lose our confession that we're Christians? You know, how are we going to stand today? You know, are we going to be what God's called us to be? You know, I look at a lot of stories in the Bible, and I try to find those unique threads where I go, man, what was Jesus doing? You know, that brings me to John chapter 9, and this is with the blind man. And the blind man, Jesus never told the blind man that he was going to use his spit and dirt. He just did it. He took some dirt, he spit in it, and then he stuck it on the blind man's eye. He didn't preface, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Recently, I had to have a little bit of surgery on my face here. I had a little cancer spot, so they had to go in. So the doctor asked me, he said, you want me to tell you what I'm going to do? And I go, no. Don't. I'm going to close my eyes, and you just do whatever you need to do. And there was a moment I go, ugh. He goes, did I hurt you? And I go, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing, but I felt something, you know? So he goes, well, don't worry. You're fine. So then he just shot me again, right? But I tell you guys that with Jesus Christ, sometimes he tells you what he's going to do, and sometimes he doesn't. But you know what? Faith, I just hold on to that, and I say, God, you're so good. You're so good to me. I'm not worried about this. This is something that I'm not going to fall into fear. I'm not going to fall into question. I'm not going to lose my morality of who I am. I'm not going to lose out on what the enemy's trying to steal and kill and destroy. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fall victim into this. I'm going to stand firm on my faith. So I encourage you in the same way, is that, you know, sometimes you don't have to know what Jesus is going to do to accomplish the good for his glory. So in those moments, sometimes he actually may give you some dirt in your hand, and he's going to tell you, hey, you're going to do something, and it's going to be miraculous. You know, we know that faith is governed by laws. In Romans chapter 3, it breaks it all down. If you want some homework this week, some good study time, I would follow, I'd go right into the book of Romans. I'd fall into it, consuming the good stuff of what God has placed before us. Many times, you kind of look at the Bible and you go, ugh, man, you got to get over that. You got to look at that and go, ugh, this is good stuff. I want that. But Romans is a great book to dive into. But especially right now, there's so much moral corruption that's taking place. Romans kind of sets you on a path to go, yeah, why would I believe that this is okay? Why would I fall into what the world is saying? So Romans is a great, great book. But Romans chapter 3, it talks about the laws and how faith is a law. You know, we're very familiar with the law of gravity. You know, gravity is all around us. I could jump off this stage, right, and I'm not going to start flying. I'm going to fall. This is a real law. You know that people have been killed by gravity, right? I think we're all very well aware of that. Well, in the same manner, if you don't operate in faith, there is something else that takes place, and that's fear. If you don't operate in faith, then you're going to fall victim to whatever devastation can come with fear. You can isolate yourself. You can become mentally ill at times. And I'm not talking about clicking your heels and wishing away to a fairy location or crossing your fingers and hoping. I'm talking about knowing the substance of faith and how that law operates so that you can stand firm in the things of God. It's super important. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let me ask you guys a question. Is how is your walk with God right now? Is it healthy? Would you say that you're an 8? Would you say you're a 10? Where are you on that scale? Scale yourself. Are you a 5? Are you below a 5 right now? Where is your faith? Are you steadfast in the fact of you know who you are in Christ Jesus? That you are a good self-feeder. If there's ever been a moment that we've had to be good self-feeders, it's right now, right? And man, it's been tough. I want to know how your health is. Asking yourself this question on a daily basis, how is your walk with God? Are you making it difficult for people to know how to pray? Are you making it difficult for people to find their way to God? Are you the example or are you the excuse? You know, there's going to be a lot of moments when these doors open. You know, we want to have prayer nights in here. We want to have worship nights in here. We want to have prayer mornings in here and worship mornings in here. You know, I'm praying that we can get Stephen on staff here sooner than later so that Stephen can just, I'm just going to make him stand on the stage the whole day and just worship. So that anytime you can just come in and worship in this house, right? Wouldn't that be great? 24/7 Stephen. That would be great. We got to believe for a really good paycheck. Let me just say that. You know, I want us to be the example. That meaning that we're not sitting at home going, I just don't feel like it today. But you're the example that when you showed up, you're showing people, no, this is first in my life to pray and to worship. Because my walk with God is so in tuned right now that I can't go without him. He's my source. He's my living water. He's my bread. He makes my cup overflow. You know, fill in all of the gaps right now. All those empty spaces that you have, that you've been pouring in from other sources that aren't good. They're diluting the true concentrated side of who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, you're stopping this unfortunately, we're so over-consumed with things that look like our walk with Jesus. There's things that are similar, but they're not. And you need to be aware to say, that's not God. Similar, but it's not God. The devil knows how to imitate, and we've got to be wiser than he is. We need to make sure that we're focused in on what God has for us. So I'm asking that question, are you making it difficult for people to know how to pray? Because, you know, for us as Christians who are self-feeders and we know who we are with God and our walk with God is so good right now that, you know, we're very aware that specific faith-stretching prayers, you know, there's a challenge to this, that we've got to rely on God's power. That if we're praying in the correct direction, that we're praying that we're in the vein that God has placed us in, that path, those Proverbs 3 and Proverbs 16 moments, right? That our prayers are faith-stretching prayers. That there's a moment that there's no challenge for people to rely on God's power if they're not faith-stretching prayers. I want us to have such faith-stretching prayers that there's a moment that we have to rely on the power of God. And in doing this, we are actually helping people, leading them to that relying on God's power moments where they say, man, without him, it's not possible. I can't do this. That we need a breakthrough in our homes. We need a breakthrough in our lives. There's an isolation that's taking place. Many of the singles in this room and that are watching, you're sitting here and you feel alone. You feel incapable of doing anything. You've been fed a lie of depression because you feel this isolation. But this is a moment to say, God, you fill in those gaps and you open up these doors. God, show me my future mate. Show me who I need to speak with and the ones that are going to build me up and point me to you and not point them to themselves. Some of you in this room who are married and you're financially stretched right now, you know, are you believing for the financial breakthroughs? Are you holding on to the confession of saying, you know what, God's going to be our supplier, God's going to provide? Are you speaking this out? You know, we understand that Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Are you listening to what the word of God says about your circumstance so that you know what to hold on to, that you know your breakthrough, that you know that God uses spit and dirt? Are you able to rely on this? Are you able to stand in that and to say, you know what? God can do this. God can do it no matter what it is, no matter the circumstance, no matter the difficulty, the size, no matter what it is, God can open up those doors and he can do it. Some of you need to hold on to this, and some of you need to hold on to a particular time frame where you're sitting here going, doesn't even matter, infinity. Some of us, we're putting on time frames of like tomorrow, better be a breakthrough tomorrow. Guys, I'll tell you right now, as your pastor, I stood on a stepladder earlier before the service started, and that television that's sitting in that balcony right now, I put my hands on it, and I said, in the name of Jesus, that television worked, and it didn't work. I mean, I started beating the thing, right? I was hitting it, I was unplugging it, replugging it in Jesus' name, television worked. Not working. Someday it's going to work. I don't know when, but it's going to work. God's going to show us the right person to give it to, Matthew Hamlin. We're going to give it. He's going to fix it. Somebody's going to do it. You know, our Christian life is not a marathon. It's a relay. God wants us to reproduce. You know, it's the first commandment in the Bible. It's important that we understand this. That you're here, even as the people that are here in this room today as volunteers, you're to reproduce yourself. There are people out there that need to know that they have a specific calling upon their life, a unique design to help the kingdom of God grow. And so for us, we need to reproduce ourselves. We need to bring people in and invite them into this room so that they can have a life change, a life-altering moment with God, an encounter that changes their perspective of the way the world has shown them to live. It's up to us. You know, people don't know what they're doing. There's so many lost people out there. They're influenced by the wrong voices. We've got to change what they're hearing, but it's only going to start with us because we know that faith comes by hearing. We've got to start leaning into the things of God and paying attention to what he has to say. You know, some of you may not realize this, but you could be used by Satan right now. And you need to be aware of these things. Paying attention as I ask that question, what is your walk like with God right now? If it's not above an 8, then my concern is that you are being influenced, and you may be an instrument not for noble purpose, but for the things of the enemy. And so I want to help you with this. This is a course correction moment to say, what do I need to do? You know, there's a lot of people right now that are using the words that are not of God to place curses upon their lives and curses on the things they touch and the people they influence. We need to be so in tune with God and so open and direct. And we as Christians, we've become passive. We feel that Jesus was more of a peacemaker than someone who was a person of conflict. Let me tell you something. Jesus was very confrontational. He was easy to tell you what you should and shouldn't do. No, that's not right. That's wrong. I mean, let's talk about the woman at the well briefly. Many men, right? Not just one, many men. Guys, we need to be more confrontational to say, no, what you're doing is wrong. And if you lose a friendship, or if you walk away with this idea that you did what was wrong, you didn't. You're helping people. You're showing them the correct course. I wouldn't be so worried about stepping on toes right now. Let me tell you, the enemy is not concerned about stepping on our toes in any way, shape, or form. I mean, we're definitely losing in this battle, I would say, the direct, open honesty that we need to be. We need to be open, honest, and direct with people and to point them to the way that God has called us to do this. There's so many people right now that want authority without responsibility. They want this authority, but they have no responsibility. They just want to blurt out whatever they want. Our responsibility comes from sharing the Word of God, so we've been given authority. When we read and understand what the Word of God says, we have been given authority, and then we have a responsibility to share it with others, and we need to do it. We have what the Word of God says. If you don't operate with this, then don't say anything at all. Guys, there's a real hell and there's a real heaven, and people are dying and they're hurting. And it's our responsibility to wake up to this. I'm going to end you with this, guys. I don't want you to misread or misunderstand what I'm about to say. This is not a word of correction. It's a word of warning. Do you guys know that cool is not a fruit of the Spirit? I've had a lot of people come into this warehouse and they go, whoa, this place is awesome. This is super cool. Well, Jesus gives us this woe to moment. In Matthew chapter 23, he gives a lot of woe to's, woe to, woe to, woe to. And so he says, this one phrase, it's a scary phrase, but he says, a painted tombstone, dead on the inside. I don't ever want our home here to be so cool that it's a painted tombstone, dead on the inside. We need to be very well aware that this is not about how cool it can be. This is about the inside, about who we are. Everyone is welcome into this house. And we need to be able to show people. We don't need to be the ones hindering people. We need to be showing them how to pray, not to be the excuse, not to be this tripping stone, but to be the example. You know, we're never to push, we're never to pull, we're to lead, just as Jesus is leading us. If you're being led, you can lead others. Okay? So I want to encourage you to do this. But I want to leave you with this one Bible story. And it's in Luke chapter 15. This is the moment where the prodigal son's coming home and the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And so he called one of the servants and he asked him what was going on. Your brother has come. He's come back, right? He replied, your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property and prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Guys, before I keep going, I want to point something out for all of us in this room. Let me ask your motive of why you're here today. Are you here for Jesus or are you here for yourself? Are you doing these things just to get a sticker for your chore chart? Are you doing these things just to get if there is a heaven, then I can make it in there? Are you sold out for the things of God? No matter what it is, no matter the moments, God says, hey, here, I got something. Or who's obedient to say, here I am, send me? Are you an instrument for noble purpose, or are you an instrument to trip people? Are you the example, or are you the excuse? Let me ask you those questions, because I'm going to point something out that you didn't pay attention to. I've read the story a ton of times, but I've missed it. I'm going to finish with verse 31 here. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. In this story, if you notice, the older brother, he was not in the house. He was the same as his younger brother. He was out of the house. It may look like he was doing the things of God, but he was actually never in the house. Even though, yeah, maybe he had his pillow in that house, and yeah, he had made a bed in that house, and he had eaten in this house. He's done all the things that you would probably say, well, yeah, he was in that house, but actually in this moment, he wasn't in this house. He was no different than his younger brother. It was just a different sin. Now he had offense and jealousy and anger. I'm asking all this for you guys as well. This is not a word of correction per se, but this is a word of warning that when we're in this place, are we the example or are we the excuse? Are you operating out of faith or are you operating out of fear? Are you full of anger and strife and resentment? Have you consumed things that are creating moral failure in your life? Or are you so steadfast in the things of God, right about now you could walk on water? If God called you out, could you walk on water right now? That your faith is so tipping the scales. Where are you at? I want us to wake up to these questions and asking ourselves these moments, because we've got to wake up to what God's doing. Here in this moment, that dad is begging his older son, you should come in. Come on, man. Come in. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. Why are you here today? Is it for your own selfish needs, or is it here to say, you know what? I'm preparing the way for God's kingdom to grow. I'm an instrument for noble purpose. Are you here today to worship your Father in this house? What are you doing? I don't ever want to be a painted tombstone in this warehouse, or I'll sell it and give this money to some missionary. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to grow. We're going to see people grow. We're going to be a healthy church. We're going to see people that don't know anything about Jesus come in here, and we're going to show them the things of God. We want to train them up. I hope that you guys can get on board with this. This is never a Stephen Engle show. It's never a Josh Gresham show. This is a Jesus-worshipping house of the Lord moment. This is what it's about. It's never a one-man, one-woman show. It never will be. It will never be that way. This is a place where people in this community. There are thousands of people in our community that are hurting, that are dying, that they're going to hell right now. And we need to wake up to that reality. People are dying. People think that a secular song is going to bring them comfort in their loneliest hours. Because I'm here to tell you, it's not going to be anything you find on radio. It's not going to be anything you see in a bar. It's not going to be anything you can find in your workplace, in a self-help book. It's going to be in this location here, because this place right here will be so on fire for the things of God and anointed. This is a place where lives will be changed because of us being an example and not an excuse. So I encourage you guys, that this is not some coach go get them speech, that this is a reality to realize there is a need. There is a need for this house in this community. So I thank you guys for showing up here today. I thank you guys for tuning in today. There's a lot of things that are going to be changing and developing and moving. There's going to be a lot of moments we're going to open up this place, and man, we're going to come in and we're going to know the anointing of God, and we're not going to be distracted, but it's going to be our soul focused on the things of God, and that's what I want more than anything. So I encourage you to be the example and not the excuse, to be able to lead people to pray God-focused, God-centered, and God-appointed moments where only the relying on His power can actually overcome the obstacle that's before us. To speak to those mountains and see that God removes those mountains. So I'm going to pray. And I know you guys all have respected areas to go to. And for you that are home, Miss Christian's got a great message for you guys. And if you need anything at all, you can call the church. You can email us at the church and find out more about the church. But for all of you that are watching, January 24th, that's going to be the next time we can open these doors for all of you guys. All right? So I'm going to pray, and then we'll dismiss today. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you. Lord, I thank you for this message, Lord, that I pray that it's an awakening, self-examining message, God, that we can wake up and to ask ourselves the question, are we in your house or are we outside of your house? God, are we creating a painted tombstone that's dead on the inside, Lord, or are we creating a house full of the living waters, overflowing? God, I thank you, Lord, that you're directing our steps, our words, our thoughts in every way, shape, and form. Lord, we dedicate this house to you. Lord, this is your house. Lord, that you come in. Lord, and you change. Lord, that you change the propulsion, the direction of this community. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we praise you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, I know Katie.